I'm Alan Combs. Welcome to the show. Let me welcome to our microphones John Derbyshire, columnist for the National Review Online, also blogs at NRO's The Corner. How you doing, John? Thanks for being with us.
Fine, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Another John. John Amato. His website is crooksandliars.com. It's a great website. It's got all kinds of video and stuff, and it's breaking ground in the blogosphere. What did John, John Derbyshire, you said you'll be on with a period, another blogger. Is that what you did? Is that how you refer to bloggers?
A and other. Hey, what is that supposed to
mean? What does that mean?
Is that just a Britishism?
I don't know.
What happens, I got it from playing rugby. When you announce your rugby team, if you're not sure who the last man is going to be, you get the list of names, and then A and other is...
You don't know Crooks and Liars? All right. Anyway, let me...
Isn't Derbyshire a blogger also?
Yeah, aren't you a blogger?
National Review Online has a group blog, and I blog on that, but I don't have a blog of my own.
But that would still make you a blogger if you blog.
Do you think you're in a better category?
All right, I'm a blogger. All right.
Let's get it straight.
All right.
I love guys that say, I'm with a blogger to sort of put us down, but then they blog.
All right, let's get down to business here. Now,
I'm sure what's going on there. All right, I'm a blogger. What's the deal here?
All right, you're now down to everybody else's level here. All right. So, John, I can't use your name, John, because you're both named John. Derbyshire, you wrote on your blog, the NRO blog. In fact, not even your own blog. It's a blog you share with other people. But anyway, you wrote about the sailors who were recently released disgraced themselves and their uniforms by groveling to their captors and thanking them. You said that the female hostage should have not ripped off the headscarf. You said that Captain Eyre and Lieutenant Carmen disgraced themselves. Well, they're the ones you specifically said were groveling. Able Seaman, you said, I assume that's his rank, Summers, had no business going on Iranian TV to tell the world that his country was wrong, even if it was, and Iran right. It was unpatriotic behavior in the Queen's uniform. What did you want these guys to do? Die?
Give their name, rank, serial number, and then keep their mouths shut.
Oh, really? Aren't you happy that this crisis was resolved quickly and with nobody dying?
No.
You're not?
No.
You're not happy about that?
No.
Educate me as to what.
Because I think we've just made trouble for ourselves in the future.
Would have been better if they died?
I'm sorry?
Would have been better if they were dead?
Alan, four British servicemen died yesterday in a bomb probably smuggled into Iraq by the Iranians. Probably being put...
Well, we have no evidence of that.
Probably
you have no evidence of that. Do you have any evidence that the Iranians did that?
Guys were yucking it up.
Do you have any evidence that? Do you have any evidence that Iran was behind the death of those soldiers?
Do you think they weren't? Do you think they're not involved?
No, you're making an accusation. Do you have any evidence of that?
No.
All right, so you're just talking through an orifice of your body.
Well, if I could just jump in here, if we were not in Iraq, and if the UK and Britain did not join us in this foolhardy war, those four British soldiers would be alive today. And it's this effect, it's insane. People are dying, our soldiers are dying. As you see, four troops and I think six American troops died. They're in a meat grinder there. And these are consequences when administrations and Tony Blair decide to, we'll just invade a country in the Middle East. And now there's all these people being killed. And what is Mr. Derbyshire's take? These guys should just give their rank, its serial number, or, as he wrote, he hopes they actually die when they go back to England.
I did not write that, sir.
Well, you did say, now I confess I wouldn't shed a tear if some worse fate befell them. What does that mean exactly?
It means I don't care what happens to them, and I wouldn't shed any tears over anything that did happen to them. I think they've disgraced their uniforms.
You'd like them in the brig?
Yeah, I'd like them in the brig.
And if they died there, that would be okay with you?
As I said, I wouldn't shed any tears.
What about a human life? What about the fact that these are human lives?
Alan, we're all going to die one day.
Oh, so why not make it sooner rather than later, more rather than less, huh?
What these guys are doing is storing up trouble for ourselves in the future, and a lot more people will die.
So it would be better off if they just stood up and were killed?
By whom?
The Iranians.
Do you think the Iranians would have...
I don't know, but if they had just stood up and not allowed themselves to go on television, I don't think they had much choice. Do you think when you're held captive, you have a lot of choices?
Excuse me. You don't think they had a choice to go on TV and say, can I quote what the guy said?
Yeah.
And say, I would like to apologize for entering your
Do you think when you're held hostage,
they
you have
didn't
a...
have any choice but to
When
say
you're
that?
Held hostage,
Are you... Are kidding me?
Can you speak up? Do you not think when you're held hostage that you have it? You think when you're held hostage you have a choice as to what activities you're going to do? What is it like, camp? I think I'll go rowing. It's 2 p.m.
You have a choice as to whether you go on TV with a big smile on your face and say, I would like to apologize for entering your war. Yes, I think you have a choice about whether to do that.
Or what if you got a gun to your head?
I didn't see a gun to his head.
Of course you didn't. You didn't see it.
Do you have any evidence for that, Alan?
I got the same evidence you had that the Iranians were behind the death of those soldiers in Iraq. I've got the same evidence you do, sir.
You know, it's pretty easy. You know, it started out with Jill Carroll, right? She was kidnapped, and then she made some propaganda videos, and a lot of right-wingers, a lot of what I would consider lunatics attacked her, and people were saying that she was having babies with her captors, and they had no idea what she suffered. And so to be an armchair quarterback, so to speak, and then to make assumptions on how these people were treated, you know, it's a cheap PR victory. It's not even a victory. We all know that if they go on TV, it's phony. It's not what these troops believe. It's not what a kidnapped victim believes. They're most likely forced and coerced to do it. And for people to say that they're a disgrace, that they should be shot or they should be thrown in the brig, you know, they haven't experienced it, so they don't know. So it's assumptions, and it's this violent rhetoric that upsets a lot of people. I don't understand where that violence comes from.
I guess that's John Amato's website is crooksandliars.com. Also with us is John Derbyshire, who refuses to lower himself into the blogging world, although he is at NRO.com. 877-4-ALAN.
Sorry, I'm still not getting that one, Alan, but go ahead.
Well,
it was a little humor.
My humor is very, very esoteric. 877-4-ALAN, 877-367-2526. Were you happy, Mr. Derbyshire, when the American hostages, after 444 days, were released unharmed? Was that okay?
Was I happy?
I know, maybe you need to think about that.
Alan, I don't recall any feelings of happiness, but after 444 days, you're kind of worn out thinking about it.
But I wish
America had acted sooner against Iran.
They did.
Graceful episode.
They did. There was Delta Force. Jimmy Carter did act sooner. It didn't work out very well. Didn't work out very well, but it was Jimmy Carter's patience which allowed for the eventual safe and peaceful release of those hostages, unharmed and alive.
Yeah, but there are other considerations, Alan. You can't just sacrifice everything to get your own people back. Otherwise, you're just going to get your people kidnapped.
What if if you had a son or daughter who was held captive by an opposing force, would you have the same attitude about it that you have toward these British soldiers about whom you don't care what happens?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. What did the British what did they give up for the soldiers? You know, I read a lot of the British press today because I was trying to see if the British press had the same sentiments that Derbyshire did, and most everyone was happy that they had returned. There was interviews, even Rupert Murdoch's The Sun, which is, you know, pretty tabloidy and pretty out there.
Right.
They were all, you know, thank God they're back. You know, people realize they do not want international incidents, and it was unfortunate that they got taken. It was unfortunate this happened, but nobody wanted to see these people killed. They're young. I mean, has Derbyshire read Martha Raddatz's new book called Long Journey Home?
Mr. Derbyshire?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Don't you guys understand? If you allow your people to be taken, and if you then make it clear that you're willing to do absolutely anything to get them back...
Well, who said anything? As a matter of fact...
Don't you understand that your people will go on getting taken?
Well, it wasn't...
But what did they... I don't understand. What did they give up or do? It wasn't like the British or the United States released captives. There was, you know, as far as we know, there was no, you know, equal transfer of people. They released the hostages. So what did they give up?
They gave up the reputation of the British Armed Forces as a stalwart body of men willing to do what soldiers should do. That's what they gave up.
You'd be applauding them if they were dead.
What?
You'd be applauding them if they had died in captivity.
What's this obsession of yours with them dying? I don't think the
obsession is that they got out they got out safely and alive. That's the obsession.
Alan, let me say it again. You didn't hear it last time. If you make
Talk
it
slower.
Clear to people like the Iranians that you're willing to do absolutely anything to get your people out alive.
Well, they didn't. As a matter of fact,
getting your people
Tony Blair did not apologize. The British government did not apologize. They did not give the Iranians everything they wanted because the government of Britain did not do that. It was the soldiers with a gun to their head who apologized, not the government of Britain.
And I kind of think also
I did not see any gun to anybody's head.
I guess the Iranians forgot to put that on the videotape that they engineered.
They were smiling and joking and shaking hands with Ahmadinejad.
Of course they were. Of course they were.
No guns in sight.
Hey, if I'm held hostage and I'm released, I'm buying them candy.
They gave up their honor and they gave
up. He's on my Christmas card list forever after I'm released.
The value of their uniforms when they did those.
All right, we're taking a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll open up our phones for John Amato, crooksandliars.com, and John Derbyshire. I don't even know if I should mention the website he blogs for because he doesn't want to be in there. Well, all right, National Review. 877-4-ALAN. I'm Alan Combs. We're talking to John Derbyshire, National Review Online. He writes for The Corner on there, and he's got his own website as well. Also with us is John Amato, creator of www.crooksandliars.com. Mr. Derbyshire has written about how these British hostages, he doesn't care what happens to them. They misbehave. They embarrass their country. Just before we get to our phones here, so now they're back safe and sound. In fact, let me play for you what Tony Blair said just today.
It is correct that over the past couple of weeks, there have been new and interesting lines of communication opened up with the Iranian regime, and it's sensible for us to continue to pursue those.
Isn't that a good thing, Mr. Derbyshire?
No.
It's not?
No.
Why not?
Because Tony Blair has already shown by this very incident that he's a sucker for the Iranians. They run circles around him.
This can't open up a more positive dialogue, which could bring, get ready for this word, peace?
They don't have a positive attitude, Alan. How can you have a positive dialogue with somebody who's threatening to...
And you do?
Nukes,
you have a positive attitude?
I'm sorry?
You have a positive attitude? By the way, are you British?
I'm an American citizen.
But were you born there?
Yes.
I mean, because I'm listening to, you know, you got the language down pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
John Amato, I don't understand the criticism here because I would think the world would be rejoicing that these men and one woman are now free. I don't recall this level of debate during the Iranian hostage crisis when they were released in 1981. I just don't get it.
No, I don't. Again, it's people that are looking in, trying to find something wrong with somebody else, or not in. You know, these kids. I brought up Martha Raddatz's book because she wrote a book about the battle in Sadr City, and it's good. I wish it had a little more detail, but it shows these kids. They're 19, 20, 21, 22 in this meat grinder of bombs, and the families and the wives that they have at home that are pregnant, and it puts a real humanistic face on the troops. And that they're people, and that they have lives, and that they have their experiences, and it opened up my eyes a lot, it's educating in a way for people who aren't that old, who haven't really gone through wars, who haven't investigated or really looked at it except for the Iraq War, and it's sad and it breaks my heart that we have he's talking about this PR victory which he believes that the Iranians won, but we're talking about troops being killed, over 3,000 of our troops, and how many British troops are dead because of a decision to attack a country that didn't attack us.
All right, you say, by the way, John Derbyshire, you want them returned to Blighty, given dishonorable discharges, and after a couple of years, breaking rocks on the Outer Hebrides. I don't know what that means.
It's Hebrides.
Hebrides, forgive me. See, I told you had the language down better than me.
I have to ask John a question, because at the bottom, I imagine now, I thought actually listening to him, he was British, but he says that, of course, this kind of truth is much harder to get across to young people who have been brainwashed from elementary school to believe that their own culture is corrupt, evil, and false, while the cultures of third world barbarians are morally superior. And to me, that's just insane, and it's outrageous to say that teachers in our schools are teaching kids that terrorists are morally superior than just the average American citizen. It's ridiculous. How could you write something like that?
That's exactly what they're teaching them, and I'll give you an example.
I mean, that's the David Horowitz school. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I guess I'm not going to get a word.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're on.
Oh, all right. I'll give you an example. There's a township in New Jersey. I forget the name of it. They recently had a terror drill for the schools in case the schools were attacked, in case one of the local high schools was attacked by terrorists. And they had a red team and a blue team. You know, the red team's the enemy and the blue team is us. And the red team, you'd think, now, terrorists, who could be terrorists attacking a school? You know what they made them? Christian fundamentalists. The whole project of public education in the United States is to teach kids that everything about their own country is vile and wicked and historically criminal, and everything about the Third World is noble.
Is that what that one anecdote teaches?
I got two kids in public school. Let me tell you about it. They teach them this all day long.
Well, I went to public school, and I was never taught anything but respect, to be proud to be an American. In the history books, throughout, yeah. No one ever degraded the U.S. And a matter of fact, you know, they put us on a pedestal that we were the
right.
Beacon of the world.
All right, Let's go to some calls here. Doug in Manhattan, Kansas, with John Amato and John Derbyshire. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, this is Doug. I was in the 101st Airborne in Vietnam, 85th Ranger Battalion. I was taken captive. I gave my name, rank, and serial number, and that's all I gave. I was a volunteer in Vietnam, and that's the code that you do when you stand in the military, when you make your obligation to go into that military.
So you're happy the soldiers are free?
I am at Amato. How can he talk? I said, he's never been in uniform if you're talking about being in that spot.
I don't know, John. Have you ever been in uniform?
No, but I'm not speaking as a soldier.
What we're talking about here is the soldier's a different person. You join that because you know what to expect and what can happen to you. It's a different job than any other job in the world. And that the British gentleman there, God bless him for standing up, because this is military conduct that the United States military and the British military ought to do, and they did it. They've done it in Kosovo. They've done it in Iraq. The guys gave name, rank, serial number. I have a friend that's been over there, been interrogated. He stood his ground, name, rank, serial number, and you go with the truth, because that's military conduct, because it's guys like us that's got to follow the COHATs to fight for this country.
First of all, we're not in Iraq fighting for this country. They're certainly not in Iraq fighting for Britain. Iraq isn't a war. We're defending anything American there, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, this is our... See, everyone's open to their opinion.
Thank you.
The force is, the point is, when you go into a war, that's what your voluntary...
So would you rather have the soldiers dead?
Sure. My buddy...
You would. You'd rather have the soldiers dead.
No, I don't want him dead, but my buddy died in Vietnam, and he died doing what...
Well, I'm sorry, but so would you rather have your buddy alive or dead, sir?
I'd have him alive. He died knowing what he died.
Yeah, I understand.
He died doing what.
If I'm taking hostage, I'm doing whatever it takes. If I have to stand on my head and whistle Dixie, I'm staying alive. Josh in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, I believe as a soldier, you have to do what you have to do to stay alive so you can fight another day. It was obvious that they were most likely coerced into saying and doing what they were doing. And when you come back home, you let them know. You let the world know exactly what
everybody knows they're coerced. John Derbyshire, everybody knows these soldiers are told what to say. They're told to smile. They're dancing monkeys. And everybody knows that those are the conditions of being held hostage.
I ask you again, where's your evidence? And how do you coerce
Where's my evidence?
Wear a headscarf?
You think they voluntarily said put me on TV?
Alan, how do you coerce somebody to wear a headscarf?
Was Laura Bush, she wore a headscarf when she went to visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Was she capitulating to the terrorists by doing that?
Laura Bush is not a member of the military. A military person wears a military
Josh,
uniform.
Thank you for the call.
That is not a part of the United Kingdom military uniform.
No, but you are held hostage and you are doing things under threat of death. There's a sort of Damocles over your head. We'll take a quick break. We'll be
you're
right back.
You're a soldier. You're under threat of death all the time.
You try not to die if possible. We'll come right back with the two Johns and your calls at 877-367-25.